No, we never set out to make 500.
But we have.
But we have, and it's just every time we record an episode, we concentrate on the episode we're doing. I think that's the best way to do anything in life, really. Yeah. It's got to be one of the best names I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I'm not sure how, but they are part of the mosaic of the solution. Because we just have to reimagine it. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. I'm Stuart the Wildman Mabbott, and my job is doing this podcast, leading walks in nature in the wheelchair that I've now got, talking about nature, making nature part of people's daily life. Who's the co-host?
My name is William Manclow. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody who listens to this podcast. And we were steadily progressing towards our 500th episode of this podcast. Can you believe it's going to be 500 episodes, Stuart?
Not really.
No, we never set out to make 500.
But we have.
But we have, and it's just every time we record an episode, we concentrate on the episode we're doing. I think that's the best way to do anything in life, really.
Yeah. We're here to try and connect people with the same interests and worries, and we're here to change the narrative about the big issues. Listeners send us in questions for us to discuss, so that's what we do. We keep trying to keep the big issues in all our consciousness, and we try and come up with actions that address what we discuss. We're not experts. We're just two relatable guys. Just we don't really see the questions before we press record, but we're just speaking honestly from our own truths.
I was going to say, before we get into the main question, which is going to be this time from Ramona in Paraguay. Ramona, this is not their first question.
No,
it's really good to have returning questions, I think. It shows a long ongoing conversation, which I think is great. But before we go into the main body of the episode, you can back this podcast for as little as a cup of coffee, and you can just miss one coffee a month, can't you, Stuart?
Yeah, exactly. And on Patreon, you can support us on there, one off for a monthly basis, and in return, you'll get some exclusive material. And to get access to our premium bonus material, head over to what's the address?
Patreon.com. Patreon is about P-A-T-R-E-O-N. P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. /the People's Countryside. And we've got three support tiers. Yeah. Go and have a look. See what resonates with you the most. The more you donate, the more you back us, you get the more content you get.
Yeah. And we'll never have ads on this podcast or on our Patreon feed. Also, we just want to give a shout out to our longest standing subscriber on Patreon.
Can I say her name?
Yep.
It's got to be one of the best names I've ever heard in my life. Thanks. It's our longest standing subscriber is Flo Van Diemen Van Thor. That's one of the best names I've ever heard.
And the other announcement we want to make is we keep making this, but in 2024, we're going to be a once-a-week podcast, not a twice-a-week podcast.
Yes.
So just brace yourselves for that. It will be a new vibe. So who's the question from? It's Ramona in Paraguay, South America.
Ramona in Paraguay, yes. Thanks.
Longest question.
Longest question. There's probably, I would say, I can see at least 5 question marks, so it's probably 5 questions in one question. It might be more, actually. So put your feet up, get a cup of tea, pause the podcast now if you want to. Don't do it if you're driving down the M40, whatever you do, unless you've got a little tease made in your front of your car. Anyway, Ramona's question is, some Pacific islands are doing deals with mineral and metal extraction companies that could have negative impacts on their indigenous societies, as well as good, as there are financial profits to be made for them and the companies. Developed countries did this, so why shouldn't these smaller societies? These same societies are likely to be impacted worse by climate change, potentially caused by other countries in the past, in the form of rising sea levels, flooding, crop failures, and forced climate migration of their people. Isn't it a good thing for these extraction companies to be part of the mosaic of solutions needed to combat climate change, as many of the metals they extract can be reused when products containing them come to the end of their lives and then made part of the other new items? Recycling, surely, or maybe you think there's enough resources in circulation already for us to survive on, and the decision to extract fresh materials as they become needed should be made by a body outside of the extraction companies themselves. Extraction companies, left to their own devices, could well decide to extract their substances whether or not there's enough already in circulation before moving on to their next target. Or should they really be steering the ship? Further, is there still a place for the oil industry in the mosaic of solutions to combat climate change, or should they be removed from existence entirely? I counted about 7 questions in that question.
Yeah, okay, so let's...
Should we unpack it one piece at a time?
Yeah, so, well, I'm just going to find the first...
It's the idea of Pacific Islands basically doing deals with mineral and metal extraction companies.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been done before, so why shouldn't they be allowed to? But the problem is we've messed up doing that system, and we've not put a new system in place for them to follow. So they have to then almost make the same mistakes we've had. Mm. That's an observation there.
Yes. What lessons could they learn from the mistakes that have been made in the past?
But it's sort of like you can learn the lessons, but if the system is still the same, you still have to extract.
Yes. So you're just basically then you're repeating the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, because you can't get out of it.
Yes.
Just because you've learned the lesson doesn't mean you have the capacity to get out. These same societies are the ones likely to be impacted most. Yeah, exactly. So if there's no new system in place of living and being, these smaller countries are going to do what we've done and actually make the situation worse, and they'll be impacted even more. We'll sit here and say, well, they made it, they made their bed, they got a lie in it. But no, we're involved with them being stuck in the system they're in.
Isn't there also, I think there's also a situation where that if the, say, it's quote unquote bigger countries, you know, the large country of this world, China, USA, etc., etc., you could say the EU in itself is a one conglomerate area, at least, not a one conglomerate country, that they actually would move on from these extraction methods and actually go to maybe to more sustainable ways of living. Mm. And actually, because these smaller countries have actually started to extract, they're kind of like they're extracting these materials for no reason at all. Mm. Is there because the rest of the world has moved on? They're sort of like they feel like they're trying to catch up with the rest of the world. That country there have extracted all these minerals and they've got their wealth from that, so we're gonna copy them. But by the time they actually get around to actually extracting from the ground, it's no longer needed, and they've wasted all that money, and they're going to be in a worse place than they were when they actually started. This is what I mean.
Well, the most one of the most interesting aspects is in this question is Ramona says it's good that it's. Isn't it a good thing for the extraction companies to be part of the mosaic of solutions needed to combat climate change? That's an interesting process because yeah, that I'm not sure how, but that they are part of the mosaic of the solution. Because we just have to reimagine it.
Because there are people in these industries, I would say, I think it was when we spoke to a particular individual who had it was sat in the listener's chair over there. We don't normally not say his name too much because his name is mentioned too much. This is not their podcast, but
no,
they were saying, you know, to change an industry,
I am the podcast.
To change the industry, you've got to be within that industry. So I'd like to think there are people who are within, say, for example, they go on to sort of talking about the, you know, right at the end of this thing here, you know, is there still a place for oil industry in the mosaic of solutions to combat climate change? In a way, there is, but maybe not look at it as an oil industry. Look at it as the individuals that are within that industry
and their skills
and their skill set. You know, they've got skills that can be actually that can help find the solutions. And the oil industry would no longer be the oil industry; it will be another. Mm. It will become another industry. Maybe the company will stay the same, and somebody might be in the future go, well, why are they called something oil? Because they don't produce oil anymore. Well, it's because in the past they were, but now they've actually changed because of that they had all the skills. skill yeah. set there.
Some of what is mined, and Ramona raises this, some of what is mined these days, some of the minerals, it has the capacity to be to be recycled better than what the, some of the yes. commodity we have now.
Yes.
But
isn't lithium really easily to yeah, recycle? Easy so, to recycle, for example.
Exactly. So there is that aspect, but it's how it's extracted. It's the process. It's the corruption.
Yes.
It's the whole process around it. But then you also have the thing where, okay, we found something else that is more recyclable. What do we do with all this other stuff we've already produced?
Yes.
You know, so is it a distraction? Focusing on the stuff that can be recycled, the new stuff that's being mined, or from resolving what's already there. So it's not a black and white. This is tough. This is really hard. And
but when I was reading it, well, yeah. I felt every point I was like, there's a lot of tough questions in here.
Yeah. But that is recycling. You know, you're mining products and that. And materials that can be recycled better, and we're told to recycle. But yeah, it's how we recycle, not are we recycling. The next question is that which feeds into what I said. Maybe there's enough resources already in circulation for us to survive on, and the decision to extract fresh materials as they become needed should be made by a body outside of the extraction companies. That's an interesting one. A body outside of. As we often say in this podcast, businesses own all sorts of other businesses. MPs in the UK have their tendrils in other businesses. They have conflicts of interest. It would be great to have these outside bodies, but who's really independent these days?
Yeah, I mean, there is... One organisation I do actually pay attention to is a Full Fact, which is an independent yep. fact checking organisation. So somebody did actually question how independent they are, but then it's difficult to sort of like,
yeah.
I mean, who do you actually believe? You know,
yeah, exactly.
You can be shown all the evidence in the world about you know how independent something is, but still not believe it.
And that's why turning this environmental ship around, as it were, is so difficult, and it's hard to. It's easy to imagine how we got ourselves into this situation. The next point, extraction companies left to their own devices could well decide to extract more of their substances, whether or not there's enough already in circulation, before moving on to their next target. Should they really be steering the ship? Exactly. It's sort of like, you know, we're driven by supply, and they make us more reliant on it. You know, and so, you know, yeah, very, very good point. Very good point. And further, there is still a place. Is there still a place in for the oil industry in the mosaic of solutions to combat climate change, or should they be removed from existence entirely? I think they're part of it.
Yeah.
It might be slightly contentious.
But I think we have to bring they have to come along with it. But there's but as long as there's demand in the world for oil products, then there'll always be or there always will be an oil industry. But that is a chicken and egg situation, I would say, because you know that we're dependent on oil because we're dependent on oil
and its byproducts.
It's byproducts, yeah. I'm holding a phone here. This has got plastic in it.
Yeah.
This
which is oil based.
This cushion's got plastic in it. This microphone's got plastic in it. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous in our lives.
Yeah.
So it'll always exist because of that reason. But is there still a place for the oil industry in the mosaic solutions? Yeah, it is not a straightforward answer.
No.
But you can give a straightforward answer maybe by just saying that it's...
Yes.
Yes, in the sense that it's they need to be part of the mosaic. They need to be part of that mosaic.
So what's the action? Not to get too demoralised by the huge challenge we have.
Yes.
To turn this.
We can all steer the ship. We can all steer the ship. I often think the action I always have for this type of question, without this type of discussion as well, is consume less in the first place. Don't. If we consumption drives more. Extraction the more we consume, the more extraction there will happen, because that is exactly how, I mean, phones are a great example. You know, keep your phone for a little bit longer, even if it's another 6 months or a year, it makes a heck of a difference, I would say. Mm. If everybody kept their devices for as long as they're working, and didn't just sort of jump on the next bandwagon of the next new thing. I remember having a conversation recently about men, my wife and I were talking about televisions, and mm-hmm. we don't have a TV at home. We don't have a TV license. We just made that choice about 7 or 8 years ago. But I remember one point there was this big thing about 3D television. It was going to be the next big thing, and people were rushing out and buying these 3D televisions. Who's talking about that anymore?
Mm.
You know, you can get so easily wrapped up in these crazes. There was a craze in the Netherlands at one point for bulbs.
Yeah.
And afterwards, people were like, why were we so crazy about bulbs? And at some point, some bulbs were going for the price of a house. I don't know why. It's just people get into these frenzies of activity.
I saw on the television...
Frenzies of consumerism. Sorry, Stuart.
I saw on the television the other day an advert for... It was called a glass TV, you know. You got smart TVs, and then this glass TV was saying, "Oh, we're even better than smart TVs." It's sort of like, well, you've just managed to get striven for your smart TV, and now they improve the technology.
Yeah, but it's always that sort of maggot being dangled in front of you a little bit, or that carrot just in front of you. Oh, you, this is the new thing. You want that? You want that? You want that?
Mm.
It's like,
yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
Anyway, we want more questions, so keep sending them in. And we got a returning listener asking the question next time. Gavin from Grove, shorter question, but an interesting one. And so I'm not going to tell you what the question is, but if you want to hear Gavin's question, tune in next time to, what's the podcast called?
The People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. And if we did have our time again, we probably would have made this name shorter.